Jane Jeska calls her book A Round-Heeled Woman. It's a memoir subtitled My Late Life Adventures in Sex and Romance. 30 years divorced, having raised her son alone, retired from teaching high school, Ms. Jeska suddenly realized how alone and lonely she really was, and she placed a personals ad in the New York Review of Books, in which she said,
"Before I turn 67, next March, I would like to have a lot of sex with a man I like. If you want to talk first, Trollope works for me."
That was the beginning of the adventures chronicled in A Round-Heeled Woman. Jane Jeska joins us from the studios of the University of California at Berkeley. Welcome.
Thank you.
First of all, could you explain round-heeled woman?
Round-heeled woman to some people means a woman who is promiscuous. To others, it means one who is frisky. The image is, if you have round heels, you tip over more easily than if you have square heels.
So you place the ad. As these things are done, the magazine forwards the responses to you, and you try to decide what to do with them. First of all, how many did you get?
Well, I got a total of 63. So I began to read them, and I made three piles, a yes, a pile, a no pile, and a maybe pile.
So how bad would it have to be for somebody to go into no?
Well, you could send a nude photograph, as one young man did, in which he wore only sunglasses, along with a really filthy poem about how sick he thought senior sex was. That went into the no pile.
Uh-huh. Then you began to get in touch with those people. Presumably you started with the yeses, right?
I did.
And it didn't begin very well, this adventure.
Well, it didn't. I mean, the first live man one, I think of him as, I was just so amazed at what was happening in the Zuni Cafe in San Francisco. When he pretended to go nuts and jump out the window, I wasn't embarrassed. But I went on to the next one. He had sent me this photograph of himself, of a very attractive man who I think must have been about maybe 60. He turned out to be 82, or I can't remember, 84. When he got off the plane, it was as if his photograph had faded before my very eyes. And so we did have intimacies. And then I couldn't find my underwear at the end. And I couldn't find my champagne flutes that went with this fabulous picnic I had arranged. Of course, I accused the hotel people, which is terrible.
Why don't you read that portion of, it's on page 79.
All right. And then it hits me. Housekeeping hadn't taken the flutes. Jonah had. And he had taken my pajama pants. No one else could have. No one else would have. I race for my purse. Money is all there. What could he have wanted, this liar, this thief, this 82-year-old man who had brought me back to life, sort of? Eventually, certainly not then, I would feel flattered. In his way, he wanted to remember his adventure to the other side of the country, to a woman he had courted across the ether in a place too rich for his blood.
How many dates did you have in all?
I met 8 men.
Out of the 63?
Yes. And let me see, how many did I become? Is that your next question? How many? That usually is. How many did you sleep with?
Well, that'll do.
4, 5.
What did your son think of all these adventures?
He has no intention of reading the book.
And your friends, your contemporaries?
Sexuality is not something my contemporaries and I talk about or ever did talk about. And really, one of the reasons I wrote the book is that I could not go, I mean, all this stuff was happening, and I could not go around to my friends and say, guess what I'm doing now? Or they'd say, well, Jane, what have you been up to? And so...
Well, so it shouldn't be a total loss. In the course of this whole adventure, you did fall in love.
Yes, I did, and it didn't turn out very well. I fell in love with him, and he didn't fall in love back. And I would like to say that that experience is no easier at 67 than it is at 17. It's just at 67 one has less time to get over it.
Let me get you to read a little bit about that particular relationship.
I call. I wake him up. His voice is warm and slow from sleep. It slides over my body just as his hands will, and from this very beginning I feel wrapped up, soothed, and very, very warm. "What are you wearing?" he whispers. "Just a minute," I answer. "Nothing." His voice strokes me into orgasm. From him, I will hear for the first time in my life, "I adore you." For the first time ever, a man will call me sweetie. But I am not completely gone. I send him a warning, Friar Lawrence's to Romeo. These violent delights have violent ends, and in their triumph die, like fire and powder, which, as they kiss, consume. Therefore love moderately. Long love doth so. Too swift arrives as tardy as too slow.
I sort of was trying to pick carefully because one of the things about the about this book is it's very sexy. You write very explicitly about sex.
I know. I mean, and everybody knows it's impossible to write explicitly about sex. I thought, how am I going to do this? So a friend of mine gave me a book called The Good Parts, excerpts from very well-known writers about sex. And so I read Updike's excerpt about sex, and I think Mary Gordon's one. I thought, well, they can't do it either. So I'm just going to do it. You know who can, though, of course, is Philip Roth.
Well, I think you did you were pretty good. And you top off this Canterbury Tale with the tale of the young man's fancy, which truly does read like a middle-aged woman's fantasy.
I know. It was, I suppose, a middle-aged fantasy come true. I didn't have a fantasy like that.
A fantasy of a handsome, what was he, 36?
Two.
32-year-old mm-hmm. man.
Yeah.
Half your age, less than half your age.
Well, his letter was just absolutely astoundingly wonderful. So I thought we would just have lunch. And then we didn't.
I wondered how you managed to, you know, to sort of not have all those feelings when you were teaching high school. You know, you did some really teenage things. I mean, this was real risk-taking behavior here.
I know. I knew that when I did it. Do you think that's teenage? Yeah, I guess it is. I knew when I did it that it was risky. I knew I could get killed even, or at least get a disease.
If not, be made very, very unhappy. So was it a good thing to have done?
For me, yes, it was. But I do want people to understand that I didn't just think this up one night, that I had gone through conventional means to try and find a male companion. And I'd gone so many senior hikes. I used to hang out at the hardware store because, you know, older men who know how to do things go to hardware stores.
I like that. That sounds very smart.
Yeah, but I didn't meet anybody. You know who I met? I met fascinating women at the mixers, on the hikes, at the class reunions, that kind of stuff. Fascinating women, but they weren't interested in me. We were all there for the same reason. So I did this. And has it turned out to be a good thing? Yes, because for one, I have a writing life. I mean, I never had an actual writing life before. Am I looking for a single partner for life? Everybody wants to know. And I always say the truth. I do not have any plans at the present time to become monogamous.
Jane Juska, thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Jane Juska's book is called A Round-Heeled Woman, My Late Life Adventures in Sex and Romance. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.